Let me add my welcome to that of those who've been up before me. My name's Andrew. If you're a guest with us this morning, I'm the lead pastor of Christchurch and love it. And it's great to be here. We're in the middle of a series, A Christmas Worth Waiting For. Simon introduced us to this last week, and we thought about a hope worth waiting for. Today we're going to think about a rest worth waiting for. But before we do that, what's the best Christmas invitation you've ever had? Well, it doesn't have to be ever, but, you know, what's the best one? I was thinking about this for myself, and one I particularly enjoyed just a few years ago was an invitation I received to go to Carols by Candlelight at St. Albans Cathedral. Not really sure how it came about that I had an invitation to that, but Lorraine, my wife, and I, we were able to go, and two good friends went with us, and it was just wonderful to turn up at a service where I'd had absolutely nothing to do with the planning of the service, the organising, and no, I had space in the midst of our own season of carol services, toddler groups, Christingle services, seniors, you know, harvesting, all those other bits and pieces, in the midst of that, just to step into a different expression of Christianity. We heard from the scriptures, 9 separate occasions, and we sang some carols that I knew, and to encounter God in those moments. What a great invitation that was, without any burden of responsibility. Loved it. That Jesus, if you read through the Gospels, he makes a number of different invitations. You can have some fun trying to work out what those were, because people come up with different numbers about how many invitations he extended, but, you know, like, come and see. All sorts, always inviting people into something more, a new way of being. And there's one that I think especially fits this season running up to Christmas. I've never really put it within this Advent, because normally we're looking at Mary or prophecies and all sorts of things like that. But there's one that does fit this season of running up to Christmas, that time when we mark and celebrate the first coming of Christ into the world. And it's an invitation that's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, right at the end of chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Now, if you've got a Bible, I'd encourage you to open it out in front of you. If you have it on your phone, then you can do that. If you use the YouVersion bit, you can find this 3 lines with the word more, I think. You can click on that, click on events, and if you've got your location on, Christchurch Pear Tree will pop up, and you can just get the passage and the outline. Let me read it to you. This is Jesus speaking. If it helps and you want to close your eyes just to hear and receive this from him, then do that. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This invitation is such a breath of fresh air, isn't it? Breath of fresh air in busy seasons. These are verses worth sitting with, reflecting on, memorizing. What stood out to you as I read those verses? My suspicion is that most of us would have thought weary and burdened, and you're like, oh yes, and that stood out, because these words of Jesus kind of describe where we find ourselves in life, and particularly in a busy season. We sing, don't we? You might have to help me with this. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Sorry about that, those at home, because you just had me, not everybody else. Yeah, or perhaps we don't sing that. And perhaps that's not quite how it is. I discovered that Blankety Blank's back on the television screens. I haven't watched it yet, but how did that happen? After all those years, Blankety Blank. And you get this idea, how would you fill in the blank? So, it's the most blankful. All right, there you go. There's the blank. It's the most blankful time of the year. What would you put in that blank? Anybody want to call out a word, you know, or two? Stress. Yeah, it's the most stressful time. That's just said it all, has it? It's the most worryful time of the year. It's the most diary-full time of the year. You can make this up, couldn't you? It's the most sproutful time of the year for most people. It's the most mournful time of the year. We can feel weary and burdened with any or all of these. It's easy, isn't it, to feel weary with worry. If I said to you, could you name your worry? Don't call it out, so okay, you don't have to, but what's your worry? Or maybe you've got a catalogue of them. What would it be this Christmas? It might be wrapped up with the cost of fuel, food, rent and everything else that's going up. And the worries about living within your means and making ends meet when it comes to the end of the month and how's that going to happen. And that's why it's so great to have the winter family fund and for regulars within the church family and being able to share around for that again this year. Or maybe it's different altogether. Maybe it's a worry about whether what you've ordered online is actually going to arrive in time for you, for you to be able to give it to the person when you spend time with them. Anybody been there when you've ordered something and then you discover later that it's actually coming from China and it's going to take a lot longer and it is, you have to find a different way of telling them it's in the post, don't you? Yeah, so maybe that's your worry. Or maybe it's a relational worry, all sorts. You know, there's that worry about how people who don't see each other often will get along at the thing that you've invited them to and whether they'll want to see each other again afterwards and all those other things or other relational worries because it's tough right now. So the worries, they can mount up and as they mount up, we're weary with them. Or we're worn out by hurry. It is a busy time of the year. I've been in church leadership and ministry, full-time ministry for a long time now. I've just lost track, really. But how long have we been? It's like 24 years, something like that. I don't know. But I was a school teacher for 10 years, secondary school maths teacher. And I just remember the end of the Christmas term feeling totally bushed. You'd have the normal end of terms things like exams, and then they had to be marked and everything. You'd have reports to write, not for every year, but for some of the years. And then you'd have special things going on. So there'd be orchestra practices, there'd be choirs for Christmas concerts, there'd be sports matches still going on and your team that you took through and things like that. And you'd then have, you'd have the staff do to fit in and excited students, and on top of that, you've got the rest of life as well. So there's stuff going on at church and the special events that you're doing, and yeah, you know what it's like. Busy. My tradition of putting up a tree at home in my bachelor boy days was like that didn't happen until the first day of the school holiday because that's it. But what you notice when you have busy seasons. Busy in itself is not necessarily wrong. It's when it leads to habitual hurry that you find yourself worn out with the hurry. Last Sunday, we received gifts for the Salvation Army Christmas present appeal, and they'll go to local individuals and families within our community, and that was great. And on the Monday, we were going to get them to Major Diane at the Salvation Army locally. And we had loads of presents at both sites. And I had this brilliant idea on Monday morning that I would zip to the parkway. It would be far more efficient for the whole working out, the team getting the stuff across, if I zipped to Parkway, collected the presents that were there before I had a meeting with somebody at 9:30 in the Pear Tree building. That was great. So now, in order for me to achieve this, my mind started to work overtime. How long is it going to take me to get to Parkway, and how long then from Parkway to here? How many bags worth of gifts are there at Parkway, and will I be able to get all of them into different bags? Where's the most efficient place for me to park? You know, the closest place to get in and out without blocking the entrance. And I remember going through all of that in my mind as I'm hurrying within the speed limit to the Parkway site. And I get out of the car, open the front door, fix it, and I jog into the main hall to where the presents are. Yes, I jogged. I mean, I do like to go for a run, so jogging's not totally unusual, but I needed to move quickly because if my mental calculations weren't right, I wouldn't be here 5 minutes in advance of a meeting I was scheduled to have. So anyway, thankfully, somebody else, Anita, walked in to the main hall just as I was there, and she said, "Oh, I'll help. God's provision." And what that did was it helpfully burst the bubble of my hurry. And we loaded the car peacefully. I calmly drove over to Pear Tree as I started to think through the way that hurry can take over your thinking, and it squeezes out other things. It squeezes out your awareness of others. It squeezes your attentiveness to God and what he's might be just saying to you in those different moments throughout the course of a day. It squeezes out creativity as well, and other things like that, until you're worn out with hurry. Weary with worry, worn out with hurry, or maybe you're burdened by expectations. Now, this can be the expectations that other people place upon you, the demands that they make. But it also is just as much the expectation we place upon ourselves. Expectation demands, doesn't it? And with the demand goes long lists of things that we need to do. It's got to be done. We should, we must, we ought. Gifts to buy, lights to hang, homes to decorate, meals to prepare, cards to send, parties to organize, invitations to respond to, and more. It's a nightmare, isn't it, when the people next door put up their lights 4 weeks earlier than you would ever think about putting your lights up. And it's like, oh, you know, we must. And if that's not enough of a burden, somehow we kind of have taken on this extra expectation of trying to make every moment of our walk up to Christmas look good in a photo so we can share it with others, as if it's just come straight out of a John Lewis advert. Expectation, burdens. Or it's easy to feel loaded down with guilt. I'm not talking about the guilt that comes from not meeting expectations, but no, this background awareness that weighs us down, that not necessarily right with God in this area, the God who made me. There's this sense of a disconnection with him. Maybe it's the weight of guilt. You carry guilt. Do you know, I did that. And the guilt or the shame that goes with it, wrong things that you thought or spoken or done, good things that weren't done. You carry it and it weighs you down and so on. So it's easy to feel any of those, weary and burdened, weary with worry, worn out by hurry, burdened by expectation or loaded down with guilt. I know I said that this fits with Christmas. It does, but actually, it's more than just Christmas, and it's not just a post-COVID thing either, because it has been a noticeable thing about that. I was reading just this week, one pastor doing leadership training with groups of pastors right across the country, and he would listen to what they were saying about where they were and how they were. And he said the same words kept coming out, so he wrote them down. Exhausted, overwhelmed, overstretched, anxious, isolated. Those are the top five. It's not just pastors, is it? I checked the date to see whether he'd written this in 2021 after COVID, you know, because the effects were long lasting, or 2022. And so I looked and discovered it was 2015. 2015, weary and burdened, it's how any one of us, any time, might describe ourselves. And the trouble is, if you're weary and burdened, then it comes out in negative ways. Criticism of others, shortness, yeah, all those different things. So what was the invitation again? Let's get back to that, shall we? But the invitation that comes from Jesus, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, find rest. Rest, that sounds good, doesn't it? Did you notice that one a couple of times? Rest, rest for our souls. Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. He doesn't say, come to me and I'll give you some rules by which you can live your life. He doesn't say, come to me and I'll make sure you know the requirements that you need to meet in order to be called a follower of Christ and to live free. No, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Does that sound enticing to you? It does to me, enticing to me. To exchange weariness and burdens for rest. How do you go about that? The context of this offer, this invitation, is Matthew 11. And Matthew 11 is underlying that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus, the one born in Bethlehem. Jesus who grew up in Nazareth. Jesus who did amazing things in Galilee and in Jerusalem. So he's the Messiah. And that he, the Messiah, is invested himself in this invitation. Did you notice? It's worth just seeing how he refers to himself. Come to me. Who's going to give you rest? He is. I will. There's my yoke. I am gentle, he says. My yoke is easy. My yoke is light. He's fully invested. Jesus speaks and invites us, Messiah. The Messiah who's God. And that's what's so attractive about these verses. In a sense, as Jesus speaks, he's analysing the state of the human soul, and he spotlights how restless we are. Words like worry, hurry, overwhelmed, exhausted, and so on. They're symptoms that he sums up with that description, weary and burdened, in the version we've used. They're all indicators that we're yoked to something that's not doing us any good. And he's going to be giving us an alternative yoke to live under. The late Tim Keller summarizes Jesus' analysis of those he's speaking to in this way. It's as if Jesus is saying, if you're weary and if you're burdened, you haven't really understood the greatness of what I offer. That really helped me come get into this. You know, we need rest. But what we're yoked to, which could be the expectation of others, the demands we place on ourselves, the worry mindset, the hurry sickness, and that hurry is a sickness. That's why somebody wrote a book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. You know, it's so important. Those can prevent us experiencing that rest. And as Jesus spoke this, the people he's speaking this to, in particular, have been yoked to a system of religion that's life-sapping, not life-giving. Rules and rituals and regulations and so on. A yoke is an agricultural image. It's a wooden crossbar in those days that was put across two animals, linking them. as they pulled a cart or as they pulled a plow. And you yoke a young animal to an experienced, stronger animal, so one could learn from the other, but both could pull the plow and so on. And Jesus invites us to replace the old yoke that's not doing us any good, and to be linked with him, to work in tandem with him, to walk with him and learn from him. So particularly, I suppose, we find ourselves weary when we're aware that we're not right with the one who made us, where we know we haven't loved our neighbour as ourselves, and we can think of specific ways that we've not done that, and we've not even thought about God or loved God with everything that we've got, which sums up everything. We've fallen short of God's law of love. And what hope is there if you're yoked to the old system of being right with God? Because you know you're not living it out, but you're stuck. And then you do to try and get right, and you're trying to prove ourselves, always trying to prove ourselves, and yet you can't escape that yoke, and hence that background restlessness, that guilt, that knowledge, I'm wrong. What can I ever do to be right? And Jesus is speaking at this time where there's been no fresh revelation of God for 400 years. The outworking of some of the prophecies you get in the Old Testament have been taking place, but no fresh revelation. This invitation, this is a rest worth waiting for. And Jesus makes the offer to you and to me to take off the yoke of all that's wrong in our lives and to enter into life with him. Rescuer, Lord, and the one who is our rest. So, let's get practical just for a few moments. How can we, especially in these days running up to Christmas, where things get busy, but it's certainly busy in the life of the church right now. We've got songs of praise this afternoon, sing a load of carols, an opportunity to share the joy of Christmas. We've got harvesters tomorrow. We've got toddler groups, and you name it. Each day there's something. Chris Dingle's school's coming in or going to schools and so on. Something big happening around the car park. Yeah, busy. How can we in these days respond to Jesus, take off what we might have been yoked to in order to walk and work alongside him, learning from him, finding rest in him? This refreshing of our souls, so that even in the stresses and the difficulties of life, because they're still around and that doesn't go away, we don't end up sarcastic, we don't end up cynical or unloving or burnt out or. So you can chat about this maybe in your life group during the week. I've come up with three things that I think might help you. This is me and my reflections, so I get to share with everybody, but you get to share with your group during the week or with a friend over coffee in a moment. I'd say reconnect regularly during the course of every day. A life linked intrinsically with Jesus, with his life, spending time with him in order to grow from him. Well, that requires moments. Little moments during the day or specific moments when we reconnect with him. One way that Lorraine and I are seeking to do that is with some, we've got some small postcards, they're Advent postcards, and they sit on a little easel, and there's one for every day of December running up to Christmas Day. And each one has a short passage on it. And what's great is it's short enough that you can read it in a very short amount of time, but then you spend time with it in the presence of Christ, and listen to him. What's he saying to you in this verse? And you reflect on it, what it meant then, what God might be saying today, how I might pray into that, or what I might do as a result of that. And in those moments, you're just listening, reconnecting. You listen, respond, and pray. And then the easel's just inside the front door. So actually, whenever you're walking around, you can just pause, and you've got that refreshment there. Today is the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's worth meditating on. It's powerful. So that's one way that we're regularly reconnecting. What's something look like for you? Second thing is refocus intentionally. There's a lady called Anna Kettle who comes from Liverpool, and she's a Christian podcaster and writer and so on. And I was really intrigued by what she had to say. I thought it was really good. This Christmas, I have decided, she says, that perfect is so overrated and that good enough will do just fine. In fact, it's more than fine if it means I can finish December without feeling overburdened, stretched too thinly, burnt out emotionally, or disappointed because I've ended up missing the main point of Christmas. That would be awful, wouldn't it, if you came out the other side and crumbs, what was all that about? That's great, isn't it? Perfect, so overrated. Fine will do, and good enough will do just fine. As she was working this out, she decided she'd write my manifesto, she called it. So, you know, you're trying to work with Jesus on this, and you capture the values that she believed God wanted her to live by in this busy Christmas season, things that that were Christ-shaped values that she could prioritize. So she put it like this. They included a desire for giving over consuming, thankfulness over desire, people over things, joy over striving and stress, authenticity over perfection, truth over hype, peace over distraction, rest over busyness, quality over quantity or excess. You could pick apart a few of those, I'm sure, but it did seem to me like they were Jesus-shaped values that cut across the striving and acquiring and, yeah, all those other things. Something, yeah, you could head for. Even if you had three that identified with you and then wrote a couple of others that are more pertinent to you, what a difference in this season. She took it on from there, and then she was just like, well, how do I work out these values and priorities in what I actually do? And she said this, I'm going to quote from her again. I find it so easy to get drawn into the lie that everything has to be perfect at Christmas time, but this year, I really want to choose quality time with people over all that hustle and hard work. And in order to really come away rested and feeling like I've had a chance to relax and enjoy the season, that might mean I might also need to make a plan to let go of some of the small stuff. To let some of the small stuff slide for a few days. So there you are, you've had it. If that's helpful for you, you have full permission to let some of the small stuff slide for a few days. Blame Anna. That's great. No, it's great. She's just trying to refocus intentionally on values that reflect her desire to walk and work with Jesus alongside him and enter into a rest with him, live out of that rest, even in the stresses and challenges. What would it be for you? And then my final reflection was this. Just do it. Just do it. Jesus has invited you, so come to him. Just do it. Come as you are. Yeah, come as you are. Tell him your weariness. Tell him what the different elements of it are. Tell him the different things that are weighing you down. Spend time with him. And do that with these verses open before you. Read them in his presence. And as you do that, breathe in the fresh air that comes with that. And as you do that, as you name the weariness things and the burdens, listen to what he's saying, and you start to get a different perspective on them. Maybe with Jesus, you start to review them and the things that left you tired and so on. And some will be good things that you've been carrying. They're things for other people. But in that moment, you find that he says, yeah, but I want to share this with you. And you carry on from there, knowing it's not just you, and you're sharing it with him and doing life with him and so on. Others are things. He gives you a whole new perspective on that you can drop, or you can do in a different way, interacting with him. So you might sense him shaping your priorities, like Anna. So as you come to him, Jesus, he is the shepherd. He is a good shepherd, the shepherd of your soul. Allow him to refresh you. Maybe it's that background, something you know is not right. Yeah, that was not right. Bring it to him with all your heart. Agree with him. That's not right. I know that's not right. And ask him to forgive you, to cleanse you, and restore you from anything you know to be wrong. Just do it. He's invited you. You know, somebody within Christchurch had heard God speaking to them very clearly. Said there'll be somebody in church who feels like you're going under. You're going under at the moment, and couldn't work out whether that was within family life, within a business venture, or whatever it was. And you think it's all over somehow because it's just going under with it. And the phrase that goes like, "But God has got it." It's like, God, he has that. He knows this, and he's inviting you just to share that with him. So will you do it? Jesus has invited you. What's your response? The ball's in your court. It's in my court as well. He's put that firmly there. How will I respond? How will you respond? I'm going to give us just a couple of moments. We've got those verses on the screen. You might have them open in front of you, and just a couple of moments silence, and you can actually make a response to him right now, and then I'll lead us in a prayer after that. Imagine him saying these to you: come to me, weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Can thank him and invite him in. I'm going to lead us in a short prayer now. Use it to draw near to him as well. And then the band are going to lead us in a song. For Jesus wants to walk with us and work with us. He leads us. He leads us as a shepherd, his sheep, to places of refreshing. He restores your soul. So the band are going to come up. Let's just pray, shall we? Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. May the peace of the Prince of Peace be yours this day. So you enter into his promise. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. In this world you have troubles, says Jesus, but I have overcome the world. Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone.